It's good to be here. How many are having a great day so far? You guys seem sluggish. I seem a lot more excited. Maybe it was some of those drinks I drank. I drank a Red Bull. You ever drink one of those guys? It'll wake you up. Just you were wondering. It wakes you right. Wow, you're up. You guys should drink some coffee or something on Thursday night. Hopefully the word will revive you tonight, bring you out of your seat, quicken your spirit. Tonight I'm going to be wrapping up, hopefully, parts. It cannot be that time already. Are you serious? Really? Is that what time it is? I'm like, wow, I've preached a long time already. I'll be preaching part two of Divine DNA, Your Inheritance. We shared last week. I'll give you, maybe I shouldn't, maybe I should just jump right into the message. But I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, you are genetically designed for success. And we went through the scriptures last week and we talked about Matthew 1, where we walked through Jesus's genealogy that takes it right back to Abraham. We talked about the Jewish people and how they just seem to be successful no matter where they are, right? If you do any research, you'll see that Jewish bloodline, the stuff that Abraham passed down, it just naturally, those people become successful. And we had a bunch of slides up there of all these different people, these famous people, and how they just became successful. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I think there's something genetically designed in their DNA by God himself that was created in faith by Abraham that pushes them towards success. And the church should be the same way. Because then we went to Romans 11 and we talked about Romans 11, 16 and 17. We talked about how we have been grafted in as the wild olive tree. And we've been grafted into the same root. The root which was Abraham by faith in God, in Jesus. And now we partake of that same root. And in the Bible there says that it is a fat tree. It provides fatness. That means there's plenty of it to go around. And so we talked about all of that. And that should bring us somewhere near. We also talked about empty wombs. If you have anything barren in your life, you're going to want to get on iTunes and check that out. And Hebrews 11:11, by faith, the empty womb. Let me go back. The empty womb, anything that's barren in your life. You know, every patriarch was brought forth from a barren womb. Every promise of God came to the earth through a womb that they said could not conceive. And then Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Sarah herself received ability to conceive. And so you and I tonight can receive ability to conceive by faith. We can bring forth that which, whatever's dead in your life, you can resurrect it back to life by faith. And I shared a story about how my cat has an instinct that's primal. You guys all remember that. My cat has an instinct that's primal, and that's to hunt. Likewise, you and I have an instinct that is primal, and it's faith. And when you get pushed in a corner, when something is dead or barren in your life, what you must do is you must go back to your primal instinct, that which came out of your father, that which came out of Jesus to you, and begin to operate by faith and conceive the promises of God. Bring them to pass. You have to forcefully, whoever said that this is a lazy life, lied. Whoever said that this is an easy thing to do in the faith, lied. Because it takes persistence and it's violent. Faith is violent. Faith is violent. Ask somebody who suffered illness and they'll tell you. Ask somebody that's been healed of cancer. They'll tell you. Faith is violent. This opposition and resistance to the enemy is violent. And so it takes that's why the Bible says the violent take it by force. The violent go in and steal what belongs to them. They go back and they pull it away from the devil. So this is not something that's for the weak, but it's for the strong. It's for those who are violent in spirit. I mean, you got to get mad. You have to get mad. You know, that's what the Bible meant by be angry, but don't sin. I had to tell the fellas playing basketball the other night that they was getting angry and sinning. So I said, hey, just be mad, don't sin. You know, that kind of anger is produced out of the spirit. Holy frustration, righteous indignation. That's where that's of holy frustration, righteous indignation. Makes you get mad at the left, the right, the blue, the red, the Democrat, the Republican, every system of Rome. You get fed up. Righteous indignation. Set up your own kingdom on the earth. Understand that you are a prince. And inside of your DNA is divinity. Woo! Inside of you is divinity. I mean, you walk around with divine DNA that's waiting to be scattered on the earth, to be set up on the earth. Overcomes powers and principalities. The DNA of a pioneer. I stopped at that last week, but I want to pick up there. You have the DNA of a pioneer. And go to with me to Genesis 11:31. Let's read that. Genesis 11:31. It says this. It says that Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran, and they dwelt there. I believe that Terah started off good. Somewhere in the middle there, he lost it. Because he brought them halfway to the promised land. The father of the father of faith brought his son halfway to the promised land. And he stopped there. That meant that he had something in him, some Christopher Columbus in him that said, go there. And so he got halfway there and he brought his kids with him. So what we have to do is allow this DNA, this spirit inside of us to pioneer new land. And if you do not do that, what will happen? The same thing will happen to you that happened to Terah. You will perish halfway. You will get to a place and you'll die. Because you'll stop operating out of your creation. You'll stop moving and conquering land and you'll get bored. This is what happens with Christians. They come so far and then they get bored because they've been around this mountain long enough and it's just too easy for them. And what they stop doing is having an experience with God and conquering new things and going out and laying hands on dead people and watching them raise up. So they stop doing that and then they get bored. They're like, man, I've been to the church picnic and I've been to the, you know, this and I've been to the that and I've done all that and I'm bored. And then they really start tripping. They start doing dumb stuff. Anyhow, so if you don't conquer, you'll perish. It was shown for us by Elijah the prophet, right? God sent Elijah the prophet to the brook Cherith, didn't he? Remember that story? He said, Elijah, go to a brook. Because Elijah went to the king and said, there's not going to be any rain except at my word. And that's bad. That's cold-blooded, right? He looked at the king. It would be like me saying to Obama, look, there's not going to be any rain till I say so. And he'd just go, yeah, whatever. And then a few years later, he's like, hey, dude, come back. Can you bring me some rain, please? But God said to Elijah at that time, he said, look, Elijah, what you've got to do is you've got to go by the brook that's in Cherith, and then I'll provide for you there. And then the Bible says he went to the brook Cherith, and the ravens brought him food. And then what happened was the brook dried up. Now, if Elijah would have just settled there, if Elijah would have just operated out of tradition and how he had known God to be at that point, he would have just said, all right, now what, God? You said you're going to provide for me here. But he was in tune with the Spirit. And then God said, now go to Zarephath. Because there's a widow there. I'm going to feed you through the widow. And so you have to continue in your walk of faith or you will perish. If you don't go and if you don't conquer more land, something about achieving more for God that juices you up, that amps you up and keeps you going. There's something about an experience. God help us, church. God help us. It's easy to be a Christian. It's too easy for us. We go our way every day. It's easy to make decisions. It's easy to pray. It's easy for us. We need an experience. We have a confession. We have a confession, but we don't have an experience. We lack the doing. We lack the conquering. We lack the pursuing of the enemy, taking his head off stuff. The fight. We've relegated the Christian faith to church attendance. We've relegated our faith to when we gather twice a week, if that, to worship and to pray and to hear more word. But our Christian faith is about pursuing the enemy. It's not about defending ourselves. We spend too much time defending ourselves from the enemy and not enough time pursuing the enemy. Running him down. Go find him. Stop waiting for him to find you. He's going to find you if you sit there long enough. He can smell you. Go find him. I hunt. I know, you know, just watch. I hunt. You know why? Because there is something in me that wants to conquer. I mean, there is just something in me that wants to dominate. That wants to show dominion. Not that. And so I don't sit around waiting for it to come to me. I get a gun in my hand. You get the right weapon in my hand. It's not even fair to the prey. It's not fair. I'm just gonna. It's not fair. I tell the guys, I'm like, this is easy. You gave me a gun? You're going to give me a gun? This is not a fair fight. I'll go run down. I will guarantee you I'm going to come back with some prey. This fight is not fair. If you just realize that the odds are stacked in your favor, God has put a weapon in your hand called the Holy Spirit. And it enables you to know things in the spirit that the devil can't comprehend. You got a language that only you and God can understand. The odds are stacked in your favor. But we spend too much time defending ourselves from cancer, defending ourselves from disease, defending ourselves from divorce, and defending ourselves from alcoholism, defending ourselves from addiction. We spend too much time retreating when we should be pursuing the enemy, finding him, searching him out, looking under every rock. Go find an enemy and kill him. Go find one. They're out there. They're everywhere. Open your eyes. Open the eyes of the Spirit and see them. They're on CNN and Fox News. Fox News. Begin the journey and teach your children how to pursue the enemy. How to pursue the enemy. How to go find the enemy. Instead of waiting for it to come upon you. In the words of Jesus, he looked at Judas and he said, what you do, do quickly. Don't Mickey Mouse around, Judas. Go do what you came to do so we can get this over with. Let me show you. He didn't wait for Judas to come to him. He looked at Judas and he said, what you do? Here's some food. Go. get lost. Go achieve it. Go play the only card you got left in your hand. Let's get it on. Let me show you how I win this thing. That was Jesus being more than a conqueror. Go do it. Go find it. It's generational. The DNA, you know, DNA, they say if you stretch it out, go to the moon and back, inside of just you. It's generational. I mean, I think God was teaching us a lesson just with our biological makeup. Like, if you just stretch yourself out, I can take you as far as you can fathom, farther than you can think, I can take you. If you'll just go. I'm not going to get through this message tonight. How to begin the journey? You got to get a word from the Lord and sail towards it. Get a word from the Lord. Get some direction from the Lord and then sail towards it. Number two, prayer. Keep the word in your heart like Mary did when she received the word of the Lord. She said, I pondered those things in my heart. I kept them in my heart. I let them roll around in me. And then one day, conceived and brought forth Jesus. Ponder them. Pray them. I had a word given to me a while back, about 30,000 that would come to this region. You know what I did? I just keep rolling it around in my spirit. I just keep tumbling it around, and I meditate on it, and I dwell on it, and I won't let it go. And every time I receive another word about it, I go, amen, so be it. Let it be established in the earth. And I just keep praying about it and meditating, rolling around in me. You got to pray about it. Let it roll around inside of your spirit, and don't ever let it go. Number three, you got to connect with your family. Your family, your church. Your journey will always include your church. And some of us think that God has sent us on an isolated journey. Your journey will always include the household of faith. It will always be connected to you, Chris. Always connected to you, Elijah. Always, Donovan, it will always be connected. Nothing I do is by myself. If I conquer territory, it's for you as well. If I go out there and kill a giant, it's so you can walk in his land free and without hesitation, unfearful of what giants roam around in the land. I love that about David. He killed every giant. He went down to the brook Cherith and he picked up 5 smooth stones. One was for Goliath and the 4 was for his other brothers, because he wasn't going to have his seed walking around in the earth looking over his shoulder for some big giant coming to kill him. So you got to go down there, pick up 5, 6, 10, 20. I got to pick up a whole bunch. I got rocks in my pockets to last me a lifetime. I'm trying to kill every giant I can before I run out of time. I'm trying to kill giants of religion. And that angers religious spirits. I'm trying to kill giants of Rome, because I don't like the political mess that's in the church. I'm trying to kill it. And you know what's got me real frustrated nowadays is how a man can call himself a reverend and never, ever, 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 ever get on CNN and mention the name of Jesus. How does that work? How do you wear the title of somebody that's anointed but not yet talk about the anointed one? Somebody explain that to me. Al Sharpton and Jesse. Wah! That's got me fired up. How do you do that? Because you're sleeping with Babylon. That's why. You're in the pocket of Rome. You're greasing your pockets with Rome. That makes me mad. You know, when I was born, they gave me a birth certificate. You get a birth certificate? You don't want to leave. This is good, guys. Gave you a birth certificate, didn't they? And what that birth certificate says is that you have birth rights. It says you are connected to somebody. On your birth certificate, there's a father and a mother. And your father and your mother have a birth certificate. And it tells us where we come from, what DNA conceived us, and what our inheritance is in that DNA. It tells us of our rights. Because if the person that signed the certificate dies, if the mom or the father dies, then there's an inheritance that's passed down to the child's name that's on the certificate. Let me tell you something. This is good. There's a certificate in that thing you're holding in your hand. And it's in the New Testament. It was a death certificate for Jesus, but it's a birth certificate for you. It points to every promise that belongs to you. It points to every birthright that you can have. It points to that deafness in your ear has to go because Jesus stuck his fingers in a man's ears and said, "Now, do you hear me?" He spit on the ground and made some mud and he stuck it on somebody's eye. And he said, "Can you see?" Every promise in the Bible belongs to you. Every stripe on his back was for you. And this is the certificate of your birth that tells you of your rights, of what you've inherited in your life. Woo! Jesus, that's good, Troy. You mean everything that he did in there, I can do down here? Yeah, man. First John something says, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, it would be cool if John just stopped that, as he is, so are we. But that's not what he said. He said, as he is, talking about Jesus, as Jesus is, so are we down here on the earth. Woo! That means there is absolutely nothing to fear, church. Not cancer. Oh, I hate cancer. You don't have to be afraid of it because as he is up in heaven, so are you down here on the earth. And if it's not in heaven, it can't be down here for you. Jesus. Now, when I got that, I about ran around the block 7 times. Let's see, where do I want to go next? Let's go to inheritance provides rescue. Go with me to Genesis 14, verse 12. This is good stuff for those of you who are being chased by kings of the world. They also took Lot. They, speaking of these 5 kings, came and invaded the land of Sodom. Man, I wish I had about 3 hours. They came and invaded the land of Sodom. Rabbit trail. You know why America is Sodom today? Not because of homosexuality. Not because of depravity and sin. You want to know why America is Sodom? Because Sodom ran out of righteous seed. They ran out of righteous seed. And the last seed that remained was Lot. Listen to me, church. The last seed that remained in the earth was Lot. And the kings of the earth, the political systems of their day. Oh, I'm prophesying. The political systems of their day came and took Lot captive and shut his mouth up and said, "Don't say another word about this God called Jehovah. Shut your mouth, Lot." And they took him captive and they ran away with him and his family. Not just him, but his descendants. The stuff that came out of his loins got taken captive too. It was Abram's brother's son. It was Abram. That's good stuff right there. Abram's brother's son. Who dwelt in Sodom. And he took his goods and departed. Next verse. I give you the next verse. Go to 13 to 14. Then one who had escaped came, and they told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Next verse. Next verse. Now when Abram heard that his brother, really it was his nephew, when he heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house, and he went in pursuit as far as Dan. So you see here, you have a divine DNA that rests in the loins of Lot, and he's connected to Abram. And Lot finds himself in trouble by the kings of the earth. They came and they took him captive. But Lot had, he had the DNA of the father of faith in him. And so his uncle Abram, took up an army and said, that's my seed. That's my family. We're going after my family. And we're going to rescue them. Everything that's been stolen. And we're bringing them back. Get your stuff, fellas. Let's ride. Now, back in the day, I had an uncle. Well, I still have an uncle like that. Well, I have an uncle. He's here tonight. Uncle Vernon, why don't you stand up? Wave to everybody. Now, Uncle Vernon right there. I wasn't always saved. And there were many nights when I'd be out in the land called Sodom. And I'd get into something that was bigger than me. I find myself making a phone call. Hey, I need you to round up your fellas. Actually, I don't need your fellas. Just you come down here with your third degree black belt self and help me out of this mess. And about the time I hung the phone up, I didn't have to wait very long, but Calvary showed up. And I just walked right out. What? What you want? I will punch you in the... What? I was 8, you know, I was like 10 feet tall and bulletproof. My uncle's here. What? I will, what? It was not sanctified, what happened lots of nights. It was ugly. It was just ugly some nights. I'm like, ooh, that hurt. You should have left me alone. You shouldn't have pushed on me like that. You ought not have punched me. Uncle Vernon got him pinned up against the wall. You have a brother. You have an elder brother. His name is Jesus. He lives in heaven, ever to make intercession for you. And if the kings of this earth come chasing you, if they come hounding you, if you find yourself arrested by any principality or power of this earth, all you've got to do is hit it. Hit the knees. Jesus, send Calvary. I'm in trouble. Send Uncle Vernon to help me. And legions will show up at your doorstep. Choke them out. Punch them in the eye. You get up. Walk right out of that mess. Don't have to worry about nothing. Whatever's chasing you, You have a telephone number that belongs to Jesus, and all you got to do is pick it up tonight and you can be rescued. Because there, your inheritance provides you the right, the birthright to be rescued from destruction. It is a birthright that rescues you from bad decisions, from hell. It will rescue you from hell. Your birthright will. You have divine DNA. You've been born of the water and of the blood. And you've been born of the Spirit. Woo! You've been born of the Spirit. You have divine, genetically designed. You've been grafted into this thing called the faith. You can make a phone call and get out of that situation. Lord, we make a phone call right now as the church of the living God. We, elder brother Jesus, we call upon you to rescue Ed Schillings in his bed right now. Rescue him from his sickness. Rescue him from a stroke. Reverse every curse. Reverse everything that's been done. And send healing to his body. Make a phone call. Man, where do I want to go next? I'm not able to get through it all. I got to close. Inheritance, your DNA, what it wants to do is establish a dynasty. It wants your inheritance, the rights of this Bible. What God wants to do with the rights to your life is establish a dynasty. Many times in the Old Testament, you will read, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many have read that in the Bible? And you're like, it rolls right off the tongue. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know why that's in there? Because your name's inferred. He says it three times because he's setting up a sequence. And he's saying, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Donovan. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Clarence. He's setting up a sequence. Your name is inferred in the sequence. Your name is inferred in the family of God, in the dynasty that he's attempting to establish in the earth. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Troy. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Patrick. It's inferred. You're in there. A dynasty is defined as this. It is a succession of persons belonging to the same family. Jesus, who through various means and forms maintained power, influence, and authority over the course of generations. Most often the term has been used to refer to a succession of monarchs. Ooh. Woo! Woo! Webster was talking. Webster was prophesying. A succession of monarchs who reign. This is Webster there. Who reign. They reign over one or more territories by hereditary right. By hereditary right. By faith we believe and we conceive. By faith, just like Sarah, I believe, therefore I conceive the promises of God. By hereditary right. However, a dynasty may also be thought of as a series of related individuals who exercise power or dominance unofficially over a territory or people to achieve prominence in an industry, academic field, religion, cultural activity, or other sphere of endeavor. That is a dynasty. That's a dynasty. Let me make it to you. You know what dynasties do? They win. Dynasties win. They conquer. They're like the LA Lakers. Much as I don't like them, they have established a dynasty. They just keep winning over the years. They keep operating their supremacy. They keep operating their might and their authority and their influence over basketball players and basketball teams in the region. They operate their authority over them. They established a dynasty. You know what the Cavs got going on right now? They got a legacy. They got a legacy. Now, a legacy is defined as this. It's what someone or something is remembered for, or what they have left behind that is remembered, revered, or has impacted current events and the present day. Okay, Cavs, we'll give it to you. Thus far, you have established a legacy. But what God is interested in doing is establishing a dynasty. He's not looking only at the 40 years that's in front of us. He's looking at the 40, plus the 40, plus the 40, plus the 40, plus the 40, because he just wants to win. He's not in this to lose. He won. He's a winner. That makes you a winner. That means the genetically designed DNA inside of you wants to win. It does not want to lose. That's why I can't understand for the life of me why some Christians roll over and die when they're faced with adversity. Because you have the DNA of Jesus on the inside of you. And Jesus' DNA wants to win. It wants you to conquer. It wants you to be not only a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. So when adversity comes, you conquer it. You make it bow its knee to the cross. But God wants to establish dynasty and not a legacy. My tomb will not be a place, it will be a time period. My tomb, I've determined this in my spirit. My tomb will not be a stone. I don't want you come looking at that rock they put on top of me. Don't you do that. I don't believe Jesus is found in the empty tomb in Jerusalem. He's not there. My tomb, your tomb, is defined by the time period in which you establish the dynasty of God on the earth. That's your tomb. That's where you rest. That's where you establish the authority of God in the earth. This is the time period that we've been given by God. Tonight, tomorrow, and who knows if tomorrow is even promised. So right now, we must conquer every bit of territory, every bit of promises that has been given to us in this certificate. We must go after it and pursue it with all diligence, or we dishonor the Savior who saved us and rescued us from hell. Don't allow a rock to define you. Don't allow a hyphen to define your life. Make people look back on your time in which you graced the earth with your presence, with your magnificent self. You graced the earth. You were a bad mamma jamma. You walked around down here and you made people pay. You made powers and principalities pay. Make them pay. Too many of us spend our lives when we should be investing our lives with the time we've been giving. Stop spending your life and start investing it, looking for a return from it. Investing means I'm getting something back. The earth is going to pay me back even when I'm not sucking air anymore. Woo! It's going to pay me back even when I'm 6 feet down. The earth is going to pay me. You got to make the earth pay you. Just like Elijah's bones. Elijah was saying something with his bones. I may be 6 feet down under the ground, but when they shoved that dead man down inside that tomb, whoa, he jumped up back out of that tomb and came back to life. Because Elijah's spirit was alive in the earth, and nothing dead can touch that spirit and not come back to life. You're the church. You're the church. Inside of you, you've been genetically designed. You've been grafted into the olive tree. The root is powerful. Because the same blood that feeds the natural Israel, it's the same blood that feeds the wild. Been grafted in. You're the church. And all you have right now is time. You've been given this time. This is your time. This is your time. It's the church. It's the ones who possess the spirit of the living God, who can command the deadness of life on the earth. You can speak to the dead thing and watch them come to life. I love the story of Lazarus when Jesus came to the tomb. And the Bible says he groaned inside of himself. I believe he was mad. Mad. The Bible says he looked in the tomb. It says he shouted. He raised his voice and he shouted, "Lazarus, come forth!" One commentator says that had he not said the name of Lazarus, had he not spoke the very name of Lazarus, everything that had been dead for miles around would have jumped up out the grave and said, "What, Master, what?" In the New Testament, the New Testament says, you can do that. You can walk into a hospital and you can say, "Dead man, wake up." You can walk down the road and just like Peter, your shadow can fall on somebody and they can be healed because there's divine DNA running from the root up into you. Awakens death, brings it to life. God has graced us with time. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your head before the Lord tonight? Lord, we're looking tonight with eyes of faith towards the promises that you have guaranteed us in your word. Awaken our divine DNA tonight. Make us pursue with a sense of urgency for the earth. For the earth, God. Make us pursue the promises for the earth's sake, for heaven's sake, on the earth. We pursue your promises tonight. We say, God, wake us up in the spirit. We give you our time. We commit it to you and say, we will not be defined by a rock that rests over our decaying bones, but we will be defined by a time frame that you have graced us with down here on this earth. And with this time, we will make the enemy pay. We will establish an undeniable testimony of Jesus. Awaken our minds to think. Help us to think bigger. I pray success. I pray the divine DNA will create success as we receive the revelation that the divine DNA that rests in every believer in this room will bring them to a place of success that goes beyond where they currently are. That their mind will be opened. That revelation knowledge will pour forth into them. They will succeed beyond their wildest dreams. And they'll just receive your word at face value and they'll chase hard after it. Give you praise tonight and thank you. You are mighty. You are mighty. You are mighty to perform your word. Not one thing you have spoken that can't come to pass, if but we believe tonight. By faith we receive, so we can see the promises of God. We give you praise tonight, in Jesus' name. Would you stand on your feet tonight, church? As you stand on your feet tonight, if you need prayer for anything in your life, I mean anything at all, from a stubbed toe to an ingrown hair, anything. Don't settle for it. Altar ministers, if you'll come. Right now, altar ministers are coming. If you need prayer tonight, our altar ministers want to pray for you. They want to touch and agree. They want to bring heaven to earth for you tonight. They want to make a phone call to Jesus for you tonight. If you don't know Jesus, don't leave here without first accepting him into your life. The Bible says you can be saved. All you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus. I pray you do that if you don't know him tonight. But it's personal. It's between you and him. So don't leave here tonight without first doing that and discovering your purpose in him. Live right. Love everybody and pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week. Let him talk through you this week. They're going to receive the offering on the way out. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.